Hello and welcome to our Ely Team online service for Sunday, November the 8th. My name is Matt, I'm a curate in the Ely Team, and on behalf of all of the churches in our team ministry, I'd like to say that we're really glad that you're here with us today for our service of remembrance. Although we're disappointed to not be able to gather in our churches today, we have put together this service to help us reflect on the great sacrifice that many have made in the service of their country. Shortly, I'll lead us in a 2-minute period of reflection, and later on in the service, Piers, one of our licensed lay readers at St Mary's, will be opening up the theme of remembrance further to us. But as we begin our service today, let's take a moment to still our hearts and our minds and to remind ourselves of God's presence with us today. As we invite God to join with us during this service, we're going to use our opening liturgy now to give voice to our thoughts and prayers. So please feel free to join in with the words in bold. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Faithful one whose word is life. Come with saving power to free our praise, inspire our prayer, and shape our lives for the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So we come now to our first song this morning, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, a song based on the prayer of St. Francis, which encourages us all today to seek to be courageous and to build communities of peace and hope in a troubled and divided world. As we are led in worship by the team from St. Mary's, please do feel free to sing along or simply listen to the words of this song as we begin our worship today. So Father God, we do want to come before you today and pray that you would use our words, our actions and our whole lives to bring peace to your world. Today on Remembrance Sunday, we particularly remember all those who have given their lives seeking to build a better hope and future for others. Please help us today to think of others in our own lives and to share your love and hope with all those who we encounter. Amen. Well, as we approach our 2 minutes of reflection now, I just wanted to share with you a few scenes from Ely this week as our community has been remembering together. First of all, here's a familiar scene from Market Square earlier in the week of poppies being sold. And of course, here is the war memorial in Ely where wreaths will be laid today. Thank you to Bridget for these images. And now moving into St Mary's Church, Lenny has put together this beautiful display of poppies at the front of the church. And Laurie has also created these brilliant folded books which are displayed on each of the windows to help us remember. The church is open today on Remembrance Sunday between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. for private prayer. So if you would like to pray, you're welcome to see these displays too. But now in our online service, we come to our 2 minutes of reflection. As this is a service for people of all ages and stages, I'll introduce our time of reflection with some liturgy and some gentle music, and a short animation will follow for 2 minutes, which just gently helps some of our younger viewers to begin to explore the theme of Remembrance Sunday. As the 2 minutes draw to a close, I'll lead us in prayer. So now let us remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country in war, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of others. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted, either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for all whom we remember this day, Fulfill in them the purpose of your love and bring us all with them to your eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So as we continue now with our service, we're going to have our Bible reading, which this week is going to be read to us by Rachel. The reading for today is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. That's Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7. You might want to find these passages in your own Bible or on your Bible app on your phone so that you can read and follow along. So over to Rachel for our reading and then straight over to Piers for our sermon.
Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, the New Jerusalem. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son."
Good morning. My name is Piers Coutts and I'm a licensed lay minister here in the Ely team. Today's Remembrance Sunday, an occasion which carries with it multiple layers of meaning, and for each of us it will stir up different emotions. First of all, we think of wars, particularly those of the last century or so, and about all the people who suffered as a result of them. My first picture today is a personal one from our family album. It shows my father on Armistice Day 1918. He was just shy of 2 years old, and here he was in his pram, waving the Union Jack. My grandmother is on the left, looking a bit worried, I think, or perhaps just harassed, and my aunt is on the right in the straw hat. The next picture is also from 1918, a woman sitting in a garden overlooking Coniston Water. I first saw this picture hanging at Blackwell, an arts and crafts house in the Lake District. It caught my eye because the painter was Dora Altunian, who was the mother of the children who inspired the book Swallows and Amazons. I'm a great fan of Arthur Ransom's books. Reading the title of this picture, I was shocked. It's called Barbara Reading Casualties. Oh gosh. The contrast between her relaxed pose in lovely surroundings and what she was actually looking at seemed really stark to me. In some ways, I find this picture just as arresting as the more usual images of warfare. Suffering has penetrated even this most idyllic setting. Death has become a matter of lists, of column inches in the newspaper. And then we spool forward 100 years, and what do we find in our news today? It's not a war this time, but once again we're experiencing a shared tragedy. And now we don't need to wait until a newspaper arrives. The information bombards us day and night. Now, I'm a bit embarrassed to admit it, but I confess I find the details of this epidemic perversely interesting. Statistics are my area, and I have a fascination with seeing how the trends are developing. Perhaps it's today's version of scanning casualty lists. But then the reality of the anguish behind the data gets through, and it becomes overwhelming. I don't know how you cope, but I've tried to limit my COVID news exposure to one report a day, just to try and stay sane. Of course, even the worst human experiences do have their brighter side. The horror and disaster that is armed conflict also produces many examples of personal sacrifice and selflessness in the service of others. Survival and liberty will always come at a price, and it's good to remind ourselves of this. Many brave people, and many not so brave, and therefore all the more courageous, over the last 100 years have sacrificed comfort, security, and possibly their lives in the service of others, and we're right to remember them. In recent months, we've also come to appreciate the sacrifices being made today in the service of others. The courage of NHS staff going on working in the face of this enemy, invisible but nonetheless deadly, has inspired everyone. Times like these, times of danger, whether caused by war or disease, make us more conscious of the inevitability of death and of our own mortality. So in the context of this rather current sombre mood, what difference does our faith make to us? Last week, Matt spoke to us about this statement by Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. The hope that Jesus presents here is not a generalised philosophical argument about life after death. His friend Martha tried to respond in those terms, and Jesus doesn't join in that debate. Nor is he seeking to answer the question of what happens when we die. Jesus also faced this inquiry on other occasions. Once it was framed with the sort of practical considerations which still creep into our minds today. Questions such as, where is heaven anyway? Will my pets be there in heaven? Will I be my older or younger self when I start eternal life? Why doesn't heaven get full up? And this was the Sadducees' favourite question, if I've been married more than once, which person will I be married to? Jesus doesn't engage with this type of question directly at all. The nearest he gets is to say something like, you obviously don't understand. It's just not like that. As Louis Armstrong said when he was asked to explain what jazz was, in words later used by J.K. Rowling, if you have to ask, you'll never know. So when Martha, full of grief for her brother Lazarus, who had so recently died, asks in effect, as we often do today, so what will happen to him now? Jesus doesn't answer the question directly, but instead points her attention elsewhere. He points to himself. I am the resurrection and the life. Look at me, he says, and then he expands on this. If someone who believes in me dies, they will live. That is, they will have eternal life. And if someone lives their life by believing in me, that is, receives the eternal life that I give now, then they will not die. What did he mean, they will not die? Clearly not that their time here on earth won't end, because that's not true. We all die. So he must be talking about a different kind of life, what he called eternal life. And his claim was that this life was to be found by believing in him. This is extraordinary. He's in effect saying that he is God, and his choice of the term, I am, which echoes the name God gave himself in the Old Testament scriptures, that choice is designed to reinforce this impression. He then faces Martha with an abrupt challenge. Do you believe this? He asks. Put on the spot, Martha responds, yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. At this moment, when she was most raw with grief, when all the questions of life and death, of existence and eternity, were foremost in her mind, she had to decide what she really believed. The narrative moves on. Jesus brings Lazarus back to life, but the real miracle had already happened when Martha made her statement of faith. For someone to make such a statement, to risk everything and trust in Jesus' claim, regardless of conflicting evidence and much doubt, that is a remarkable event, and it's one that without divine help would be impossible. This is part of what we mean by saying that we're saved by grace. It's a both-and situation. The choices we make are fully ours, but making this particular choice requires God's intervention as well. And the raising of Lazarus, wonderful though it was not the key part of this series of events. The real miracle was Martha's statement of faith. Her brother's recovery simply followed on from it. Resurrections are rare in the Bible. The miracle of a person deciding to trust in Jesus is in fact much more important, and thankfully it also happens much more frequently. So what then is this life that Jesus presents to us? What is the nature of eternal life? What hope can we have in the face of the clear reality of war or disease, suffering and death? Well, this could be the subject of a whole series of talks, but today I want to look at three aspects. Firstly, eternal life is secure, safe, and certain. Listen to what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Later he goes on, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. And again from John's Gospel, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. This is what Jesus promises if we choose to trust in him. Secondly, eternal life will be different. Eternal life includes what we now experience, but it is bigger. It's like our lives now, but more so. Our whole way of thinking is restricted by the nature of our lives here and now. It is constrained by the limits of space and time. Eternal life doesn't fit completely into this framework, so it's not surprising that we can't fully understand it now. Have you ever wondered why so much of Jesus' teaching was indirect? Why he uses analogy, parable, and metaphor rather than a straight description? Why, instead of saying, the kingdom of God is, he says, the kingdom of God is like? He's not hiding things or deliberately keeping things from us. He's actually trying to open our minds to a different way of looking at things. For example, in his debate with the Sadducees, who didn't believe in resurrection, he concludes, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. You are badly mistaken. They had come with their test question about who a dead woman would be married to, and Jesus had said, you are badly mistaken. You're asking the wrong questions. Ouch. When the disciples met Jesus after his resurrection, he was both the same, he ate and drank, they touched him and saw his wounds, but he was also different. He appeared and disappeared at surprising times, and the disciples sometimes didn't quite recognize him, at least at first. Two of them walked along with him, thinking he was a stranger, until, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. Later, when he appeared to all the disciples together, they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? It is I, myself. touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. It seems that the resurrected Jesus was the same as he had been, but also more. And we should expect that this will be the case for us as well. So, our eternal life is secure, and it will not be exactly the same as our current existence. Thirdly, eternal life will also be better. Paul was in no doubt about this, as he wrote to the Philippians, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Paul had reached the point where his eternal life was more important, more real to him than his everyday one. He longed to leave and be with Jesus. And the writer of Revelation was clear about this too. The book of Revelation can be difficult to understand. The language is full of symbolism and metaphor, but its underlying picture of life in God's kingdom is very clear. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. What a picture of the life to come. No pain, crying, sorrow or death. A world made new and perfect. The hope of eternal life which we have as Christians is an important part of our faith. As Paul says, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus has not been raised, then there is no resurrection, and our faith is pointless. But, he continues, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In Christ all will be made alive. And on Paul goes. Read the whole chapter sometime to see how certain Paul is about this. He even answers one of those what will be like, it all be like questions. He says, someone will ask, how are the dead raised? What kind of body will they come in? How foolish! How foolish, said Paul. You are badly mistaken, said Jesus. You're asking the wrong questions. Well, if those are the wrong questions, what do we know? Firstly, our hope is well-founded, safe and secure. Jesus' promises are clear and reliable. Secondly, the life to come will be different, but only because it is greater than, not less than, what we now know. And we can get a taste of this now through the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, the life to come will be better than now. Discard foolish notions of ethereal spirits floating on clouds. The life to come will be just as real as the life we know now, but it will be without the pain and grief and loss. It will be life as it was always meant to be. Jesus' challenge to Martha applies to us as well. Believe this.
Thank you, Piers, for your timely word to us today on Remembrance Sunday. As we continue to reflect now on this message to us, we're going to turn to our second song this morning, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, which really is a prayer confessing how much we need Jesus to be with us both personally, but in our world today and always. You might like to sing along to the song or simply use this time to be still and to invite Jesus to be with you again in whatever season of your life you feel that you are facing at the moment.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, for
So, Father God, we do want to ask that you would forgive us for our foolishness today, and that we would find forgiveness and hope for the future as we draw near to you today. Amen. We turn now to a time of confession, when we have the chance to confess to God the times when we haven't followed him fully with our whole hearts, and those moments when we've turned away from him and his love. So if you'd like to use these words to make a prayer of confession, please feel free to join in with the words in bold. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." And we pray together. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And together let us declare our faith in God. Again, if you'd like to, please feel free to join in with the words in bold. So we say together, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now to our prayers of intercession for today, which will be led for us by Angela.
Lord, we're so grateful that we can gather today via streaming on this special Sunday, Remembrance Sunday, to worship and praise you for all your wonderful goodness, love and care to each one of us. Lord, there are so many difficulties and disruptions that this dreadful virus has brought to our lives. We ask, Lord, that you will give us your peace as promised in John chapter 14, verse 27. My peace I leave with you. Lord, also be close when we are fearful, anxious, or worried. And lift our spirits and support us as we journey in our daily lives, confidently feeling your calming spirit with us as we strive to further your kingdom. Amen. On this day of remembrance, we think of the many, many who gave their lives for our country in World War I, II and before, so that we may benefit and be free from oppression. We're reminded in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are there to comfort me." Also the hymn, "You'll Never Walk Alone," comes to mind. Such encouraging words. Lord, we think of the pain and anguish that losing a loved one brings. Please, Lord, bring comfort and peace to those affected. And we thank you for your unfailing love to us all. Amen. Lord, we know the horrors of war return to some of those who have survived. The nightmares, the mental anguish, so that they become broken in spirit or are heavy-hearted and need mental or physical support. Please, Lord, heal those that are maimed and hurting due to the war, whether it's physically or psychologically. Amen. For those, Lord, who are permanently resting, we thank you for their sacrifice. For them, they have the reassurance that they are devoid of pain and further suffering. And as we read in our passage from Revelations, that in life eternal, that is heaven, there isn't any pain or grief or tears or further suffering, which is so wonderful and reassuring, something we can all look forward to. What comforting words these are, to be with our Lord resting eternally in our Father's house. Amen. Lord, we ask for your peace in our world, which is badly affected by conflict due to mankind, and needs your calming spirit, so many areas that man has wrecked. Please, Lord, direct those in charge of our nations to govern wisely in their ruling on our behalf. At this pandemic time, give our leaders wisdom and skill in their decisions as they act on our behalf. Amen. Finally, Lord, we thank you once again for Chris, our team leader, for all his leadership, and for all our amazing clergy team. We commend to you all clergy here in this country and worldwide. We once again thank you so much for all who help to run or organise in any way our worship here at St Mary's, particularly at this difficult time. We thank you for their uplifting love to us, directing and helping to strengthen our faith in you. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide them in all they do. Amen.
And we gather all of our prayers together today in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please feel free to join in with this modern version of the prayer, or to pray the more traditional version at home. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So having just prayed, don't forget that our archbishops in the Church of England, as well as the Bishop of London, are calling us to use this next period of lockdown as an opportunity to pray for the nation throughout November. You can find further resources to help you do this at home on the Church of England website. That's www.churchofengland.org. And then from the main page, there should be a link to these special prayer resources. And if you have an iPhone or an Android, I can also personally commend to you an app called Lectio 365, produced by 24/7 Prayer, that I've been using in my own quiet times to help me pray. Each day on this app, you can read through or listen to a prayerful devotion, which is centred around a Bible passage, and it normally lasts about 10 minutes. The app has been a great encouragement to me, and it's helped me to keep on praying over these last few months, especially in the unusual seasons that we've been facing. So I'd encourage you to check it out. Simply search for Lectio 365 on your App Store. So as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, we have one last song for you to join in with, and this week it is Amazing Grace. This final song encourages us to reflect on the great love that Jesus offers each of us to start afresh with him, to encounter his love and also to move forward in that love. So as we listen to this song, you might want to use these words as a chance to reflect on how God has been at work in your life in the past, or how he might even be at work in your life at the moment. Oh, Thank you, Lord, for your great love to us and for your amazing grace and the hope of a fresh start with you. This morning we wait on you and we offer up our lives to you afresh. And although we don't have much to offer, we give you ourselves, our lives, our hopes and dreams, everything that we are, and we pray that you would shine through our words and actions to bring glory to your name. Amen. Well, as we draw towards the end of our service this morning, I have a few quick notices to give. First of all, a reminder that in this period of lockdown, all public worship and activities at all of our churches across the Ely team have been suspended, apart from funerals. Obviously, we'll keep reviewing the guidance issued by both the government and also the Diocese of Ely as we head towards December the 2nd. And we really do hope to be able to publish details of our plans for Advent and Christmas across the team as we head towards the end of November. But until then, do continue to meet with us online each week for our Sunday services. For full details of what's happening, please see the St Mary's Church website. That's www.stmarysely.org. And just to flag up that since worship restarted at St Mary's, a new community has grown from the 9:45 service, which we'll be continuing to meet online via Zoom in addition to this service. If you'd like to join in with this Zoom service, then please do sign up via Eventbrite on the church website. Secondly, I mentioned earlier that St Mary's was open for private prayer on Remembrance Sunday, and this is due to the fact that although our services and activities have paused, private prayer is still permitted. Please do contact your church wardens for details on whether your local team church is planning to open and when that might be. However, I'm pleased to share that St Mary's will be open on Thursdays, Saturdays and Sundays between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. for the duration of the lockdown, and all are welcome to come into the church at these times to pray. Please do follow the instructions of the stewards when you arrive, and obviously don't come if you are showing any symptoms of COVID-19. Thirdly, if you need or can offer practical support over the course of this month, then please do email office@stmarysely.org or leave a message on our answer phone on 01353 659 550 and somebody will get back to you as quickly as possible. And if you would also value the chance to talk and pray with a member of the pastoral team or would be like to be linked up with a home group, then please also contact us so we can arrange for this to happen. And finally, thank you to all of those who have continued to support us financially over the past few months. We are obviously very thankful that your generosity has allowed our ministry to continue throughout these unprecedented times. Looking forward, if you'd like to find out more about how you can give to any of the churches that make up the Ely Team Ministry, then in the first instance, please contact the St Mary's office and we'll then be able to give you further instructions about how you can give to any of the churches in the Ely Team. So in brief, worship with us at home, unless you'd like to pray privately in our church buildings. Keep on caring for each other and thank you for your generosity. So now, as we come to the end of our service and we head out into the rest of our days and the week ahead, I'm going to pray a final prayer of blessing over us. May God the Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and those who you love, now and forever. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.